This is the Seabed Daily Text. What to do when the Holy Spirit does something not in the bulletin? Acts 2:1-13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Consider this. The movement began with phenomenology, tornadic sounding winds, tongues of fire descending on people, men speaking in foreign languages they could not themselves understand. This was not a prescripted ceremony as one might expect at, say, a Passover celebration. This was live reality TV. Things were happening that were not in the bulletin. The Holy Spirit did not come with an announcement of his arrival. He just arrived. Note the two very divergent responses from those present. Number one, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Number two, some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." As it was then, so it is now. When the boundaries of one's experience with God are stretched, it reveals two basic responses: self-abandonment or self-protection. The former marvels in stunned awe. The latter mocks with sarcastic antagonism. To be sure, much of what gets passed off as Holy Spirit phenomenology these days may or may not be dramatic expressions of human personality. But how we respond says much more about us than it does about them. Years ago, when my wife and I were in seminary, a traveling revival descended upon our town. Never before or since have I witnessed the kinds of apparently supernatural phenomenology occurring in those meetings. Fireworks abounded, but so did miracles. And yes, it split the community into two groups: those who marveled and those who mocked. It always does. At one of the evening services, I approached a seminary professor and asked his take on what was unfolding. I will always remember his response. In a spirit of awed humility, he said, "J.D., there's a lot happening here that is clearly of the Spirit. And yes, there are some things that are happening that are clearly being driven by human personality. Don't be afraid of this. lean into it with discernment. Let me close today with a few simple rules of engagement when it comes to spiritual phenomenology outside our comfort zone. Number one, never make fun, belittle, or mock another person's experience of the Holy Spirit. Number two, resist the compulsion to be a spiritual thrill seeker. I call them storm chasers. Oops, I think I just broke rule number one. Number three, suspend your initial need to make a snap judgment. Lean into the possibilities and instead ask the question of true spiritual discernment. What does this mean? And number four, live a scripture-saturated life. Everything always comes back to the governing story of our lives. We will see this in action again in tomorrow's reading in a profound way. Our prayer, come Holy Spirit. The question, when it comes to the phenomenon surrounding the Holy Spirit, do you tend to be one who responds with abandonment and awe, or with sarcasm and skepticism? What is it about you that makes you respond in this way? For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.